You guys got me. I was not expecting that.
Indeed.
Could have been worse. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. You can do better than that. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Thank you. All right. The nation in which God has set us for our good and for our salvation has been so utterly good to us, so good for us. You know, we are the rich of the present age, which St. Paul mentions in the epistle today. We are the rich of this present age. We have been blessed and blessed and blessed again and enjoy a standard of living that which 99% of the world, not just existent now, but 99.999% of the world throughout all of history has never known. We are truly blessed and fortunate. I mean, the very existence of the United States as a nation state really is a miracle in itself. When you look at like the might of the British Empire in the 17th and 18th centuries. And then you compare that with, you know, this ragtag bunch of, you know, colonial farmers and frontiersmen and just, you know, original Americans. What do they used to say? Who rules the waves? Britannia rules the waves. But not anymore. God has blessed us as a nation beyond measure. And what I'm going to talk about today, our homecoming, is a theme in the Bible that we have been seeing in Genesis, in Wednesday evening Bible class. It keeps coming up again and again because it's a pattern. It's a theme in the Bible, which is life in the city, right? Life in what we might say today is the way of the world, life in the city, versus the city of God, versus life in the city of the Holy Church, the New Jerusalem. And so for you guys that come to Wednesday night Bible class, I'm just going to restate it again. You know, I'm sorry. I'm going to talk about it in very much the same terms. So hopefully you brought some pretty hefty boots because your toes might hurt. Let me start by asking you this. Who built the first city? Cain. Cain, the slayer of his brother. And Cain had to do this, right? He didn't have any other options. He was cursed from the ground. And he was cursed. He could sow and sow and sow, and nothing would grow from it. And so what Cain and his lineage had to do in order to make a living and survive in this world is to produce commerce and trade, like making weapons of war in order to go and plunder those people who could bring forth seed from the ground. The next city that we encounter after Cain is Babel, or Babili, as it's originally called. And Babili means gate of the gods. It was literally the place where they thought that they met God. Right, men went and rebelled there too. Horrible, horrible stuff. It was a mess. And then the sacred scripture takes us to the city of Ur. Right, U-R, Ur, or Ur, if you want to pronounce it. It all depends on how you want to pronounce it wrongly, I suppose. It's very much like Latin. Right, Ur is that city that Abraham is called out of. Right, he's called out into a life halfway across the world, right, into the Judean wilderness, right, from the city life. He's called out of that city life to be a wandering nomad in the middle of nowhere. It'd be like, you know, traveling, you know, if you lived in downtown Charlotte and you traveled to West Texas to go live out in the desert. Well, that's basically what it was like. The next major city that we see in the sacred text is Sodom, right? The city that seduced and enslaved Abraham's nephew Lot. All of this is to say that this life in the city of man, is not presented to us in the sacred scripture as a good thing, right? It is not necessarily to be a bad thing, like as a sort of like matter of fact, it has to be evil and wicked and all this. But we can make it bad really, really quickly, right? The fallen race of Adam can make it horrible very quickly. Things can go awry very swiftly. And what I want to do today is to attempt to look at all of this through the eyes of one of our most cherished saints in the Christian religion, that of St. Augustine. And I want to do that here with all of you because I think it's important. I think it's important given the particularly nasty climate that we find ourselves in right now in this country, right, in our own current sort of city of man, as it were. St. Augustine has one of the most extensive meditations on this life in the city that there is. It's his treatise that I know some of you have read. My copy of it is still out to you, one of you right now. It's called The City of God Against the Pagans. Right? Most of the time we just shorten it to The City of God. Right? That is an incredible work. Highly recommend that you read it. And it's literally framed around the entirety of the book of Genesis. It's just a giant commentary on the book of Genesis, really. Right? The city that Cain builds, according to St. Augustine, is the city of man, the first city of man. Eden, right, in the beginning, is the city of God that becomes the Holy Church in the New Jerusalem at the end of Revelation. Right? It comes down to earth, out of heaven from God. But St. Augustine's point, and the way that he understands this, is that the city of man is sort of always in this state of flux. The city of man is always in this state of constant change and morphing, because it is always, always, always in the state of foment and decay and sin and unrest and temptation, right? And all these things, because it has no foundation. It has nothing to anchor it, no rock upon which it's built, which is why morality in the city of man is ever shifting. It changes almost from year to year, right? In this way of the city, this way of the world. Right? We see this play out all the time, right? Anyone older than 10 years old has noticed this. Meanwhile, the city of God, right, the divine order, is always constant. It is always steady and anchored. It remains always and is unchanging. And so this is very, very significant and pressing to St. Augustine, because it just so happens that he is living during and literally in the collapse of the Western Roman Empire in the early 400s. Right, that's when St. Augustine lived. That's when he's writing The City of God Against the Pagans. Right, the empire had peaked, and now it is in decline and it is falling. And the empire had been an incredible blessing to St. Augustine, an incredible blessing to the church. And it had given him and his forefathers and foremothers in the faith just so much. I mean, St. Paul's vision, I believe I've told you this before. Maybe it was Bible study. Oh, I always conflate the two. I never can remember which is which. Nonetheless, St. Paul's vision, and you see this in the New Testament, what he's intending to do is to finally get to Rome and get to the emperor. What does he want to do with the emperor? He wants to preach the gospel to the emperor and convert the emperor. That's St. Paul's goal. That's what he wants. Now, that did not happen in his lifetime, right? That happened finally in the year of our Lord 312, when Constantine the Great converted to Christianity, right? The whole Roman Empire after that followed suit. But now it's ending. St. Augustine comes along, and it is ending. It was a nation, the city of man, in severe decline, which they all viewed as the end of the world, by the way. Right? They all thought the fall of the Roman Empire is the end of the world, like the apocalypse, they thought this. Right? Literally, everything that they knew, their family's culture, their family's safety, their security, the way that they earned a living, all of that was coming to an end. It was falling right before their eyes. Their whole way of life is being done away with, and it's being replaced with something utterly barbaric and horrible, as Germanic hordes from the north, right? Probably some of your ancestors, certainly some of my ancestors, are coming down and just tearing through the empire, ripping it apart and devastating. What went wrong? What went wrong with the Roman Empire? How could a nation who had been so prosperous, literally a Christian nation, right, more prosperous and blessed than any nation that had ever existed on the face of the earth in the history of the race of Adam, how could a nation like this just fall and cease to be? God bless you. And what St. Augustine said was, the problem is not that the Western Roman Empire is falling. Right? This, after all, is what the city of man does. The city of man is ever shifting and morphing. It's always rising and falling, ascending and descending. It's constantly happening. You see it even now. There's always unrest and foment and chaos in the way of the world. He said, that's not the problem. The problem is that his fellow Romans in the West had put their faith, had put their hope, had put their trust in the city of man, in the emperor and in the empire. And what they weren't doing anymore was they were not looking to God and to his city, the Holy Church, whose head and foundation and cornerstone is and always will be Jesus Christ. They had put their trust in and turned their attention to the wrong thing. They believed that their prosperity and indeed their whole life and every blessing was given to them by the empire. Their protection, their sense of safety, security, right? Whether they lived or whether they died, that came from the empire. Their hope for the future was that the empire will stand and not fall and be strong and endure. And St. Augustine said, that's where you went wrong. That's where you went wrong. And don't you know he could be talking to us? He said you should have always been looking to God, always looking to his city for all of that, for everything. There's never been a time in my life, ever, that I can remember, where this nation, the city of man, that God has established and set me in, has ever been more divided. And yes, I include the Civil War in that too. And not just old school division where, you know, you disagree with me and I disagree with you and that's that, but disagreement in the sense where we hold on to our ideas and we define ourselves by them, to where they become a part of our identity and who I am, so that if I disagree with you, what does that mean?
means I hate you. It means I don't like you as a person. Not just I don't like your idea, I don't like you. Very, very dangerous. I mean, we're being driven to kill one another now. We kill our children at worship. We kill our politicians of both colors, by the way. Both colors, red and blue. And anything in between. We kill the people that we disagree with, that we argue with. For the last several years, I've heard a disturbing amount of propaganda. And it's from both sides of this severely divided city of man. And I'm not just pointing my finger at one group or the other. It's both. About how if this thing happens, or this person gets elected or not elected, or, you know, if this thing passes through the Congress, right? Fill in the blank, right? If this thing passes, then our democracy will fail. They're all fascists. And our own little city of man and worldly empire, 1,600 years after Rome will fall. Right? That's the doom scrolling that we all do. Well, I've been guilty of it, I'll admit. Well, I've got some bad news for you. It's going to fall. It's going to fall. This is what the city of man does, and ever will, until the coming of our Lord. We've forgotten again as a nation. We've forgotten the principles, the Christian principles upon which our civilization and nation was founded upon. We've forgotten where our safety actually comes from, where our security comes from. We have forgotten the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, from whom all blessings flow, who is the Lord of the church. And if you don't believe me, remember back to worship attendance in the 50s. I had to read on this because I wasn't born in the 50s, even though I may look like it. Remember or look back to the 50s and compare it to worship now. Our churches should be full because of who God is, because of what he's done for us. And they are not. And I tell you, if we stand like the Romans, we will fall like them. We will. Because the city of man, as it's instantiated as in this nation, right, or that nation, or any number of other nations, is going to fall. Whether now or at the glorious appearing of our Lord. Because that's what the city of man does. And we're in the classic stages of late empire decline in this nation. If you know anything about that, you know that's 100% true. We have made an idol out of our nation state in exactly the same way that St. Augustine's countrymen did. And our God is a jealous God, and in his mercy, he will take away our idols, every single one of them, and he will crush them, and he will do it because he loves us. And he doesn't want us to die. He wants us to come to salvation and to live. You cannot kill over 70 million of your country's, of your fellow countrymen in their mother's womb since 1973. Right? The place where they should be the safest. A practice that, by the way, also, we seem to have zero intention of ever doing away with. You can't do that and still expect God to bless us and bless us and bless us. We need to wake up. We need to be shocked out of whatever stupor we have slipped into in the last several decades and open our eyes and realize who the God and King of the universe is. And we think we can reject the order of God's creation. Now, we think we can actually celebrate sexual immorality and perversion as it's plainly laid out to us in God's word, and let men dress up like women and read our children's books in libraries, which are, by the way, also arms of the state, and then use the same restroom as our daughters. And then God's just not going to do anything about it. Proxy war after proxy war after proxy war. An overextension of our military that mirrors exactly every single empire that's ever come before us and their fall. And especially, do you know which empire? Rome. Rome. There is a reckoning coming if we do not repent and recant and return to the Lord Jesus Christ. The same Lord who loves us and has blessed us with the greatest nation and empire that has ever existed on the planet. Ever. Just hands down. I mean, based on Christian principles from the get-go. This is especially important to those of us who are citizens of both of those cities. Both the city of God and of the city of man, as it's instantiated in the United States. Because I think those of us alive today, I think we're kind of aware. I think we're kind of aware that the way that things have existed for a long time, at least three generations in this country, all of that is coming to an end. I think we can all feel and sense this, that it's happening all around. Something is not right. Things are radically and exponentially changing, and not in a good and holy and virtuous way. And we don't know what's going to happen next. And we don't know where all of this is going. And so just like people that St. Augustine was writing to, this was not and never was what our hope was in. Our hope is never in the nation state. This country was never the source of your prosperity. It was never the source of your safety, of your security, of your life. Your life is held in the nail-pierced hand of your Savior and your God. Don't ever forget that. Jesus Christ always was. And anyone who's ever suggested that he wasn't is a son of destruction. Right? He is the rich of this present age who has not set his hope on God. That is what we must do. Right? As the sons and daughters of God, we must turn back to him. We must place every one of our hopes on him. And if we were looking to something else, right, to, who knows, right, our own intellectual capacity, if we were looking to the wisdom of our society, to our military might, to our medical technology, to whatever that isn't the Lord God Almighty, for our hope, for our blessing, for our salvation, then that is our mistake, and we need to turn back to God and repent with tears of repentance. And let them flow, knowing that he loves us, and that he is ever merciful to us, and that he runs out to us with his arms open when we run to him in penitence. No man, no politician, no nation, no president, no king will ever save you. Only Jesus Christ, the Savior of the nations, who has said to us, in my Father's house are many rooms, and that he himself has gone to prepare a place for each and every one of us. in the holy city of the New Jerusalem. And here at Christ's, he has given us a foretaste of that city in this community that God has caused to exist for us and for our salvation for 184 years. Right? For most of the time that this nation has been in existence. This community made up of our forefathers and foremothers, to be sure. But all of us bound together as brethren by the blood of our brother, whose name is Jesus. May God continue to be merciful to us. May he continue to be merciful to our church and to our nation. And pray for our country. Pray for our rulers. That we may all as a nation return to the Lord, who is the only source of blessing and our only hope. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.